I know we're coming off of the Christmas holiday, and one Christmas memory that is very vivid in my mind happened when I was about 14 or 15 years old. My brother, Ed, who was 5 years older than me, he and I bought each other an album for Christmas. And only my mom knew that we purchased the exact same album for each other for Christmas. And so when it came time to open the presents, she said, "All right, you two have to open these at the same time." And you can imagine our surprise when we opened the exact same album. That album was called Seasons of the Soul, and it was by Michael and Stormy O'Marty. And I don't have the vinyl record anymore. I wish I did, but I do have it on CD. And to this day, this is still my favorite album of theirs, especially the title track. And it really inspired this series that we're about to begin. I'm borrowing the title, Seasons of the Soul. And I'd like to just share with you the lyrics of that song. Whenever summer dreams start to fade and lose their light, and when the spring in your heart seems so cold it can't be right, and you feel like you've lost control, and the valley seems so low, well, it's not forever, just a season of the soul. If you could step away just to see how far you've gone, if you could take the time just to be what you've become, you would have then time to grow. There would be that chance to know that it's not forever, just a season of the soul. Walking alone in the desert at night, searching for the rain. How can this happen to me? It's not right with Jesus as my friend. Everything was going fine. I was standing on the line. Where did I go wrong? Suddenly the sky was gray, looking like it's gonna stay far too long. Up on the mountain, I heard his sigh like an angel's call. If you don't rest when the winter is here, what will you bear in the fall? A time to cry, a time to sing. There's a time for everything. Nothing lasts that long. Don't look at what you see. Just keep your eyes on me. I won't let you go wrong. So when you look for that voice that you've known and no one's there, when it seems like the caretaker's heart just doesn't care, it's the seasons of the soul. It's not forever. It's the seasons of the soul. I really believe that phrase is an accurate one. We do have seasons of the soul, very similar to the seasons in our weather. Each is distinct. Each requires different attitudes and actions to make the most of them. Now, this idea of seasons is very biblical. When God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, on the fourth day of creation, he said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate day and night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years." In that scripture that was just read from Ecclesiastes 3, we see in verse 1, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. The NIV Senior Devotional Bible observes, "There are seasons in life, and there are seasons in the soul. The springtime when faith is born, the summer as faith matures, the reaping and harvest in the fall, and the dark time, the winter, when you walk over frozen ground and you're not sure anything will ever grow again." I don't know of a single Christian who, in their pilgrimage, could testify that their faith has enjoyed springtime always. Everyone has a wintertime of the soul. Now, sometimes we think of these as phases of life. Springtime is our childhood years. The summer would be when we're in our prime. Fall might be those kind of middle years. And winter is as we get old. That's not the way I want to look at it. I believe we go through these seasons throughout our lives. Just like every year we have spring, summer, fall, and winter. I know when I used to live in Minnesota, the joke up there was, sure, we have summer every year, it just doesn't always fall on the same day. And of course, here in Illinois, it's if you don't like the weather, just wait, it'll change. So we experience this in our lives, and I think that's true spiritually as well. I believe that we are constantly going through these seasons of the soul. And I do believe, though there may be some exceptions, for the most part, they follow the same cycle that we see in our weather. And so we're going to see spring as a time to rise and renew. Summer, a time to run and reach. Autumn is a season to reap and to rejoice. And winter, a season to rest and reflect. Now, one thing that's different about these seasons as opposed to our meteorological seasons is that it's impossible to predict exactly when they will occur or how long they will last. And we all go through them at different times. But I do believe that these are common experiences that we all have. And if we don't recognize them and respond to them, we won't gain the benefits that each of these seasons can have in our lives. Now, even though we are in the clutches of winter, I'd like to begin our study with the springtime of the soul. This is a time to rise and renew. And that may seem like a long way away right now, but trust me, spring is coming. I like the way that Solomon's Song of Songs puts it. In that song, chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. You can almost smell the blossoms, right? You can visualize what that was like because it happens every year. Even though we may not be in that season, we can still anticipate what it would be like. The winter is past, the spring has come. And if we're in this springtime of the soul, we're probably experiencing new life in our relationships, our workplace, or in our family. There's probably a sense of excitement, even though there might be a little sense of uncertainty as well about what is to come. Spring can be an incredibly enjoyable season, particularly after a long, hard winter. I believe that springtime is the time to rise and renew. It's a series of season of new beginnings, and it requires some work for these new beginnings to survive. If you can imagine in the springtime a farmer or a gardener who is going out to make plants grow, that takes effort, that takes work. And we must roll up our sleeves and do what needs to be done so that new beginnings can have happy endings. So this morning I'd like to just call to our attention three activities. When you find yourself in this season of new beginnings, this time, the springtime of the soul, that can help us make the most of the opportunities we have. The first activity in the springtime of the soul is to plow. There's two Old Testament prophets that use this imagery. The first we find in Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. This is what the Lord says to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem. Break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, circumcise your hearts, you men of Judah and people of Jerusalem. or my wrath will break out and burn like fire because of the evil you have done, burn with no one to quench it. Break up your unplowed ground. Some of you, if you have the old King James Version, it says, break up your fallow ground. You may know what that's like, especially if you're into gardening or if you're a farmer. You know how that land can become hard and weeds can grow up in it, and it needs to be plowed. It needs to be broken up. We see a similar imagery in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. The prophet says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. Breaking up that hard ground. Now, Jesus doesn't use those same words, but he has the same concept in his parable of the sower and the seeds. Do you remember that? In Luke 8, verses 11 and 12, he talks about seed that is sown, and some of it falls on the pathway, and the birds come in and eat it before it can get into the ground and take root. And Jesus explains, the seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and are saved. That's that hard ground. The seed can't penetrate into it. It can't take root and grow. And it ends up being bird food. M.R. DeHaan explains what this means. Fallow ground is that which is permitted to lie idle and uncultivated. Instead of producing grain or fruit, the land becomes covered with weeds and thorns, and disaster lies ahead. So the prophet calls to Israel, thus says the Lord, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. The spiritual application for this expression are many and profitable, but the one that comes to mind first of all is there can be no blessing without effort and no harvest without plowing. I want that to sink into your mind. There can be no blessing without effort and no harvest without plowing. Now, even in the springtime, harvest is a long way away. Even like right now, it seems springtime is a long way away. But if we don't do the work in the springtime, there's going to be no harvest in the fall. And part of that work is to break up that hard ground in our hearts. So why is this so important in the springtime of our souls? And I realize that wherever I start in this series, I'm at a bit of a disadvantage because we're beginning, and there's not a context that it fits into. What comes before spring? Winter. And usually during the winter time of our soul, we get a little bit set in our ways. It's kind of like winter in the weather. We tend to stay inside. We tend to not be quite as active as we might usually be. And we can get a little bit hardened in our ways. Our hearts can become cold and wintry. And we need to plow that up before the seed is planted. We need to cultivate good soil if we want to have a good crop. So, okay, I get the imagery, but what's it mean practically? What are you really talking about here? Simply put, plowing, in the spiritual sense, means changing. When Jeremiah and Hosea used the idea of plowing in their preaching, they were calling the people to repentance. And repentance involves a radical new beginning with God, a fresh surrender of heart mind and will, of worship and life to Him as our Lord. It's a new beginning. It's a time to change. We're going one direction, we need to change and go another direction. That's what repentance is. It's a change of heart, a change of mind that leads to a change of behavior. So what we're called to do in this spring season of the soul is to change. Now, usually in the Bible, repentance means turning away from sin and turning toward God. But I want to suggest to you that repentance doesn't have to be only about sinful thoughts or practices. We can repent, we can change our direction from mindsets and routines that may not be morally wrong. Let me explain. In nature, spring follows winter. Usually the springtime of the soul follows a wintry period in our lives. And we're going to expand a whole lot more on this when we deal with the winter time of our soul. But very briefly, winter is a season to rest and reflect. It may come after the completion of a strenuous goal, and we need time to relax and recover. Or it may be after an illness or an injury has us inactive for a while. Maybe that winter of the soul is the end of a relationship, or maybe the end of a job. As we're going to see, this winter season of the soul, it's necessary, it's beneficial in its own way. But it can be a time of even prolonged inactivity. And what happens after prolonged inactivity? We become a little set in our ways. An object in motion tends to stay in motion. But when an object stops, it's a little hard to get it going again, isn't it? And you ever found that for yourself? Maybe you go away on vacation, and you have a week or 2 weeks, and you don't have to get up to an alarm. You know, you can just sleep until you wake up. You don't have to do anything. You can just relax. If you want to stay in bed all day or just, you know, stay in your pajamas all day, that's okay. Right? And it's refreshing and it's rejuvenating. But if that becomes your lifestyle, we got a problem. There comes a time when we say, okay, I've had my rest. I've had this time of enjoyment, relaxation. Now it's time to get going again. And that can be hard. Getting back into that routine, disciplining ourselves, getting up at the right time in the morning, going to bed at the right time at night, you know, watching what we're eating and drinking, getting back into those exercise routines. I had that not long ago. I had a head cold. And the thought of working out, you know, with your head all full of stuff just didn't appeal to me. So for a week, I didn't work out at all. That next week was tough. And that was just a week, you know. You imagine going for a longer period of time. It's hard to get started again. But the good news is those winter times of the soul don't last forever, as we were reminded in that song. They don't last forever. And the time comes when the season of winter ends, we need to change our routines. We need to start a schedule where we have to stick to it. We may set goals for ourselves to accomplish. We talked about that last Sunday. Making smart goals that are specific and measurable and attainable and relevant and time-related. But that requires change. That may mean we start doing things we're not used to doing, or maybe we stop doing things we've been doing. That's what it means to plow, breaking up the old, preparing for the new. Now, Once the soil has been plowed, the next step is to plant. Going back to that verse in Hosea 10:12, he begins with the words, "Sow for yourselves righteousness." We must not be content to stop doing what we're used to doing. We need to start some new practices to replace the old. And this is such an important concept. I don't know if I've ever met anybody who didn't have some habit, some practice that they wanted to break. And many times that's the goal of our New Year's resolutions. I want to stop doing this. But I want to tell you, if you don't replace it with something positive, you're going to have a hard time stopping. It's hard to just stop doing something in a vacuum. And the Bible understands this. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 24, he says, "When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself. They go in and live there, and the final condition of that man is worse than the first." For a long time, I didn't understand what that meant. What is he talking about? But what he says here is, here's a man who had an evil spirit and it was cast out, but he didn't replace it with God's spirit. It stayed empty. And that evil spirit went and got seven more evil spirits and said, "Hey, let's go back to where we were." And because it was empty, he came in and he's worse off than he was before. It's not just about stopping bad things that we're doing. We need to replace it with good. We need to start new things, start new routines, start new ways of thinking, as well as ways of living. Paul gets very specific in how this can be done in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is a very practical section of Scripture, and I want you to notice the pattern that he uses here, beginning in verse 25. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, so that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ in God forgave you." Notice the relationships here. For everything Paul says stop doing, he tells you to start doing something else. Stop stealing, but instead use your hands to do something useful. I got to be honest with you. A little confession time here. When I think of people that like hack into computers, you know, people that'll hack into an account or they hack into a business, I often think to myself, why can't they just take that skill that they have? And that's obviously a skill. They're obviously intelligent and have developed some skills. Why can't they use that for something good instead of causing all kinds of trouble? That's exactly what Paul is saying here. When we plow up the ground of our hearts, when we stop doing the things that are not beneficial, we need to replace those with things that are. Plant seeds of new ways of thinking and new ways of acting. So if you're having trouble, if you're struggling with a habit, if you're struggling with a way of thinking, and you want to be rid of it, you want to change it, I would suggest strongly that don't just try to stop doing what you've been doing. Start doing something positive in its place. This idea of replacement is very, very important. And then the final step is progress. See, spring is a season of growth, though the beginning of growth might be really slow. Change does not come easily or quickly. So don't get discouraged if you don't see the changes right away. If you don't see these new thoughts and behaviors take hold immediately. We don't plant one day and harvest the next. Again, anybody that's sown fields in farming, or even if you've done a garden, it takes time, doesn't it? And if you look every day, come on, where's the shoots? Where's the shoots? You know, you're going to get disappointed. You're going to get impatient. James writes in James 5:7, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains." You see, God sends the sunshine and the rains of His goodness to water, to nurture these seeds that have been planted. But we need to be patient and allow the progress of these changes to take place in our lives. I mentioned earlier the prophets Jeremiah and Hosea. They introduced the concept of plowing, but they also promised the spring rains that bring progress to our planting. Jeremiah 5:24 says, "Let us fear the Lord our God, who gives the autumn and spring rains in season and assures us of the regular weeks of harvest." So even though we don't harvest in the spring, as we plow the ground, we plant the seed, we allow God to work in our lives, there's an assurance that there will be a harvest. There's going to be a product in the end. And that may take some patience, but it's going to happen. Hosea adds in Hosea 6:3, "As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth." You say, okay, but what are these spring rains? What does that mean in my life? I believe it represents the work of the Holy Spirit. As He directs us, as He guides us and empowers us to make the changes in our lives. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So then, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." Now I realize the context here, he is speaking of the church there in Corinth. Paul planted that church. He started it. After he left, a man named Apollos came and nurtured that church, and it grew. But he said, don't give the credit to Paul and don't give the credit to Apollos. It's God that makes things grow. And that's something important to realize. When we put in the effort, we plow up the old, we plant the new, we've got to rely on God who makes things grow. It's His Spirit, His empowerment, His direction that's going to allow these things to progress. You know, springtime is a welcome time, especially after a long, hard winter. Chuck Swindoll puts it this way in his book, Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life. "Oh, spring, how we've missed you. How much we need your gracious nudging. Stir us from our slumber. Bring back the color. Add a little shower now and then to clean things up. Blow away the threatening clouds with your sweet, gentle breezes so that we again can see the mountains of challenge that make us want to climb higher. They've been there all winter, but we've been inside a long, long time. It's easy to lose sight of the beautiful peaks and the lovely meadows when we reduce life to Operation Survival. And that's true. We go through these times in our lives when it just seems like nothing's happening. We don't see any real growth. And when we get there, we're going to see that can still be a beneficial time. We need those seasons. But when those seasons come to an end, it's a time to change. It's a time to break up our old routines, our old ways of thinking and acting. It's time to plant some new seeds, to make some changes in our lives, and then watch as God makes it grow. Is it springtime right now in your season of life? I know you look outside and you're seeing snowfall. How can it be spring? Well, the seasons of the soul don't necessarily follow the seasons of our calendar. Maybe you're awakening from a winter of spiritual hibernation, crawling out of a dark cave of disillusionment and discouragement. Maybe you've been laid up by illness or injury, but your strength is beginning to return. Don't be afraid to try again. The sun is out there. I know on a day like today, it's easy to say, oh, there's no sun today. Oh, yes, the sun is there. The sun is above those clouds, above the snowflakes that are falling. The sun is there. It's always there, even when we don't see it. And it invites us to try out its splendor, to believe anew, to realize that the same Lord who renews the trees with buds and blossoms, who renews the grass with green in place of brown, He's ready to renew our lives with hope and with courage. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, You created our world to experience various seasons. And these seasons are different, they're unique, and they all serve a purpose. But I believe there's a spiritual connection between the seasons of our weather and the seasons of the soul. And I pray that we might gain insight and understanding to what's going on in our lives, to realize that we go through these phases in our lives. Sometimes we're very active, sometimes we're not active at all. Sometimes we're reaping the benefits of what has been sown. Other times we're plowing up the hard ground and planting new seeds. Give us wisdom, I pray. Help us to discern where we are in our lives and help us to make the most of it. And for those of us who are coming out of a winter season in the soul, give us the courage to make those changes. Not just to stop doing things we don't desire, but to replace them with new and to rely on Your Spirit to guide and direct, to empower, so that we would see the progress in our spirits. And we give all the glory to You because it's only You that makes things grow. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.